Oh, it's so good to see you. It's been ages, hasn't it? How have you been doing? Good, good. Yes, we're all fine. Joe and the kids. Actually, Joseph's been really busy. You know, work's been crazy. You know, the carpentry business is just growing and growing. Well, you know, I think people really appreciate a chippy who's, well, of course, honest and hardworking. But, well, he takes a real pride in his work, and I think that pays off. His customers rave about the quality of his finish. He gets loads of recommendations for jobs. Yeah. Well, he doesn't really have to advertise anymore. He just gets so many positive reviews, you know, on Google, Facebook. Yeah, trust a trader too. Taking on... Oh, well, he has got other guys, he can call them. Yeah, but he's really waiting for the boys to grow up. You know, join him in the family trade. Joseph Davidson and Sons. He says to me, Mary, can't you get the kids to grow up any faster? Well, I do hope they join him. He'll be so disappointed if they don't. Well, my eldest, Jesus, has started helping him out in the workshop a bit. But I'm not sure how much of a carpenter he'll be. You know, he sort of seems preoccupied with other things. And little Joe and James, well, they're a bit young yet to be let loose with a hammer and a saw. But you can be sure that Joe will get them working away as soon as he can. How's Jesus? Well, boys will be boys. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. No, he's a good kid. He's not at all naughty and, well, he behaves well. He's got good manners and is respectful. No, I don't think he's had any tantrums since the terrible twos. Oh, except when he thinks something's, well, just not fair. And actually, on those occasions, I can't think of one when he hasn't been right. I guess you could call it righteous anger. So I don't have any complaints, but he's definitely his own person. His mum can't tell him anything. I haven't seen you since Passover, have I? Well, even after these few months, I can still feel the shock he gave us. I was so scared something terrible would have happened to him. Well, you know, every year we go up to Jerusalem for Passover. And so, as usual, we went with a crowd here from Nazareth, the extended family, neighbors, friends. And because Jesus had turned 12, Joe and I thought he could come too. Joe could teach him what the men do at Passover there. And all that was fine until we left to come home. Well, we couldn't find him. We'd been traveling about a day, and Joe and I had assumed he'd be with some other friends or family in the Nazareth crowd. But no one had seen him. Oh, God, what's happened to my little boy? Where is he? Oh, Joseph, how could you lose him? You were supposed to be doing the Jewish men things together. No, I know that was unfair of me to blame him, but I was upset. So we prayed. We prayed for the safety of our boy. We prayed to God. We prayed. We prayed that we would find Jesus. We prayed for a sign that he was okay. And me, myself, I remembered when that angel visited me all those years ago. Where was he? Where was the angel Gabriel? Well, couldn't he offer me a message of hope or of comfort? Back then, he called me blessed. But I didn't feel very blessed then. What would happen to God's promises now that Jesus was gone? God had entrusted me with his son. And I'd lost him. I'd lost the Son of God. Please, God, please don't let this happen to me. Please don't let this happen to us. So, Joe and I had no choice. We had to go back to Jerusalem and find him, look for him. Well, of course we found him eventually. Only 3 days of trauma to endure. We found him in the courts of the temple, deep in conversation with a group of, you know, eminent, scholarly, clever people. I can't describe the emotions I felt when I caught sight of him. Such relief. Tears of joy. Anger. Exasperation. Jesus Davidson, how dare you treat your parents like this? What on earth do you think you were doing, young man? Your father and I have been worried sick looking for you. And the cheeky boy calmly replied, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I'd be here in my father's house? Oh, I could have slapped him. What was that supposed to mean? Maybe Joe and I could have checked the temple first, before the rest of the town. But we had no idea where he was or what he'd be doing. Anyway, we all got back to Nazareth safely and had to explain to his brothers and sisters and the babysitters why we were a week later home than anyone else. And he still hasn't apologized. Sometimes I just don't understand him. No, I really, really don't understand him. A lot of the times he's just a normal kid. But sometimes something he says, it's like a glimpse of wisdom, like an old soul inside there. And then I remember various things people have said to me. Well, call them words of wisdom, words of knowledge, I don't know, prophecy. And I remember he's not just my son, but he's the Son of God. It's like when I felt all that distress and pain of him going missing, I thought about what an old man, Simeon he was called, said to me. We met him when we took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him when he was 6 weeks old. I remember it distinctly because in amongst all the positive things, you're praising God and God keeping his promises by sending a savior, Simeon said also that a sword would pierce my soul too. What does that mean? Does that mean in all the joy and glory, there'll be sadness and pain and agony? Sometimes I'm scared of what the future holds. But then at other times, I think I just need to soak it up and cherish these things, because even if I don't understand it, God has a purpose. And I know every mother says this, but it's not just pride. I know Jesus is destined for great things. But Simeon said he would be God's savior and that people would be against him too. I don't know. I think sometimes God just shows us a little bit at a time and we may be able to make sense of it when we look back. Well, maybe. But we only get a bit at a time, because to know all the story would be just too much, too difficult to cope with, too scary. And it's not just what people have said, but the strange things that have happened. Soon after Jesus was born, when we were still living in Bethlehem, these Gentile men just turned up on our doorstep. They'd come from quite a distance away, you know, somewhere far out east. I guess they were astrologers. They'd followed a particular star to our house, they said, to find a child born to be king. And there they were, bowing down before Jesus. And they left presents of gold and incense and myrrh. I still have them somewhere, you know, in with Jesus's keepsakes and baby things. And going back further, the night I had Jesus, that was an exhausting few days. I do not recommend a 3-day walk when heavily pregnant. I'm so glad I've had my other kids at home. You know, staying put and resting up is so much better. And when we got to Bethlehem, the guest room was so full of people because of the census. The only place with a bit of space and privacy was in with the animals. But you know what? The feeding trough made a perfect cot. Joe was holding Jesus and wondering where to put him down to sleep. And then we spotted it, and the exact same thought came to us into our minds at the same time. Wow. Anyway, that night, we were just recovering from the birth. And then suddenly, at the door, there was a crowd of shepherds, you know, shattering that peace and quiet. They were so excited. It was like Bethlehem FC had won the cup, except they weren't drunk. And they were just chattering away about how angels had filled the sky and telling them to find a baby born to be our saviour lying in a manger. Yes, our makeshift cot. It seemed like madness, but that's what the angels said. And the shepherds really did find Jesus in the trough, just as the angels said. Oh, and then suddenly as the shepherds appeared, they ran off into the night, raving about what they'd seen and from the sounds of it, telling anyone who would listen and those who wouldn't as well. You know, it's so amazing, miraculous, these things that happened. But the shepherds that night, they were a real godsend. I did believe I'd had God's son. And I do believe Jesus is God's son. But that night, I was so tired. And it just wasn't what I'd imagined. Being in with the animals, not having a proper bed, nowhere to put the baby to sleep. You know, when you begin to doubt what God has said to you. But then the excitable shepherds burst in and affirmed what God had promised. This baby was born to be a savior to all. Just when I was too exhausted to know what to believe, these noisy, smelly men came in from the cold and reminded me of what Gabriel had said the 9 months before. Oh no, you don't want to hear the story. You want to hear it again. Yeah, you're right. It's amazing. I could just tell it again and again. Okay, you've twisted my arm. Well, when I was half the age I am now, yeah, not much older than Jesus is now, I was doing my chores around the house so Mom wouldn't have a go, and I thought it was better just to get them out of the way, you know, sooner than later. So I was doing my chores. And I still can't really describe it. You know, I looked up and suddenly there was this person in front of me. He introduced himself. He was an angel called Gabriel. You know, the one that the prophet Daniel mentions. And he told me how blessed I was by God. Well, wow. I didn't know what to think. But I certainly didn't feel blessed and I wasn't sure I wanted to be. He must have known what I was feeling because he said, "Don't be scared." Although I guess that's probably a pretty typical reaction when someone meets an angel. He said I was going to be with child. I was going to have a son, the Son of God, who was to be the longed-for Messiah, our Savior, and I was to call him Jesus. Well, I was just young then, but I'd been a good girl and I'd paid attention in PSHE classes and I knew I couldn't just be pregnant from nothing. I was engaged to Joseph, but we still were waiting to get married. So I said, "Well, how's that then, biologically speaking? I'm still a virgin." He said, "By the power of the Spirit of God, nothing's impossible for God." And as if just to illustrate the point, he told me the news that Elizabeth, well, you know, my distant cousin who lives in Judea, well, she was already 6 months pregnant. Well, that came as a shock. We'd always thought, oh, poor Zachariah and Elizabeth, they can't have children. And I'd assumed that she'd long ago gone through the menopause. But I guess miracles can happen. This I had to see. Well, to congratulate them, of course, but also because, well, an angel had told me the good news. And at that moment, I was just so full of hope and belief that I didn't have any more questions. I just said, yes, I'll do what God asks. Let it happen, as you said. And I really did believe, and I really wanted to be obedient to God's calling. But as I packed my things to go and visit Elizabeth, I thought it through a bit more. You know, well, it's a lot to take in. I didn't have any particular plans. I'd imagined marrying Joseph and having a family. But, oh no, what would he say? What would he do? And surely my life would change. I mean, bringing the Son of God into this world is quite a thing, isn't it? And you know how fantastic my wonderful Joe's been. You know that I'm so thankful for him, how blessed I am to have him as my husband. You know, faithful and sticking with me throughout all of this. Because, you know, I think God's called us both to bring up his son. And Jesus really loves his dad. Well, of course he does. But as I was walking all that way to Zechariah and Elizabeth's, all the news of what Gabriel had said was churning around in my head, and I wasn't sure I could do it. Why had God chosen me? Was I really blessed? I felt too young to be ready for something like this. We'd all waited so long for God's Messiah, for a Savior to come. Could I be a part of it? But then, I'll remember that meeting with Elizabeth forever. I often come back to that day to remind me of God's promises and his goodness to me. I went into the house and I called for her. And then she was in front of me, blooming in her pregnant glow. And she had the biggest smile on her face. And she was just so excited, praising God and hugging me. And she just couldn't stop talking. She was just, oh, praising God, telling me how blessed I was, how blessed she was, how blessed our babies were. She said, when you called my name, I felt my baby move, jumping for joy because of your baby. And of course, I hadn't even had a chance to tell her I was pregnant, but she just knew. She was completely taken over by the Spirit of God. And that's when I knew. God's Spirit came over me, and I knew that in his power, I could do this, be the mother of his son. Joe and I weren't alone because dear Elizabeth and Zachariah were also blessed by God with a miraculous child. And yes, I was blessed that God had chosen me, just a normal Jewish girl, to give birth to the Savior of the world, to be a means of fulfilling the promises God made to his people to save them. The Spirit inspired me with a special song that I still come back to again and again, especially when something's troubling me. Or when I'm confused or amazed by Jesus. It reminds me that God's kept his promises in the past and he'll bless and save us today. And whatever happens, I know that our Savior has come in Jesus. Oh, what's the time? I've got the school run to do. Oh, gosh. Okay, I've just got time to sing it before the school run. All will magnify the Lord. I rejoice in God my Savior, in the wonder of his favor. For he has done great things for me. He was mindful of his servant. Every age shall call me blessed. The hope of Abraham come in the giving of a son. For he who promised is mighty in remembering. through every generation. The proud he scatters to the wind. The ruler's strength is broken, and the rich are left with nothing. The humble lifted high, and the hungry satisfied. A portion and a treasure are